Before we begin, I want to honor and to share a moment of silent prayer. On the 15th anniversary of 9/11, and may we give honor to the victims, both living and dead, and to those that still live in sorrow, and for those that lost more than lives in some respects in an act of terrorism. And so let's bow our hearts before our Lord and have a moment of silent prayer. O Lord, hear our prayer. All are welcome to this place of our Lord, a place to rest, to praise, to glorify our God. May your spirit be at peace, and if not, may you receive peace in the presence of our Lord here and now. God has called us to be together this morning, to tend us and to prepare us for the rest of our lives. May we show up here in body, mind, and spirit and stay settled in this peace with renewing and restoring of our souls. Remember, Jesus sits among us as we celebrate in word and cup and prayer and music. His sacrifice is here in our risen Lord. And so we begin. Take a big deep breath, breathe in the breath of God, and let all that distracts you from this place remain outside. All are welcome here. Whether you are a visitor, a guest, a member, or someone who comes occasionally, God does not scold us. God welcomes us, and we do also. So if this is your first time here or your time back after a long period of time, or you were here last week, all are welcome in Jesus' name. If you are a guest, would you raise your hand and we will greet you with a gift? All right. There will be an exciting time today. We have started a program called BASIC, which is Brothers and Sisters in Christ Training. It's a Sunday school class of sorts, but we have a meal right after this worship. And then we go into our different groups. There are programs or stories for children, stories for teens and young adults, and stories for people that come into my group, which includes all ages. And so you're all welcome. We've done this one time before, and we'll do them in series of three. And then we'll have a little rest, and then we'll do them again. And there is a Sunday school class that goes on between the two worships of God, and we invite you to those too. But this is another way for multi-generations to come together, and you're all welcome to come. Even if you don't come every time, we would enjoy having you. Sisters in Christ will meet tomorrow night with a pitch-in meal. All women are welcome. Bible study is at 7 p.m. tomorrow night in the Cornerstone Room. And I invite any children between the ages of 5 and up to participate in the Acolyte Ministry. And so they will understand that they are leaders in our worship of God, and that they will understand what it means to bring the light in and the cross of Christ and the Word of God, and what it means when they take it back out and then symbolically take it out into the world within their own hearts. I'm asking that the Sunday praying group text me or email me and let me know if there's a better time when we're doing the basic training to meet, because usually we meet on Sunday right after this worship of God. And then we also meet on Wednesdays, and we will meet this Wednesday at 10 a.m. as we have continued to do. And all are welcome to that. You can come as many times as you like, and it does not have to be every week. The annual picnic is next week, September 18th. Please plan on coming. The information is in your bulletin. And Steve is relieved because last year you hadn't voted on me yet, and you voted that day, and Steve wanted to come ahead, and I wouldn't let him. So and now I won't have to listen to that anymore. We can go officially to the picnic. So all are welcome. Please, please come. Are there any other announcements? Oh, yes.
It's not really an announcement. I'd just like to welcome Linda Richards back among us. Y'all may not recognize her, though, because she doesn't have her hat on.
Ah, welcome. Welcome home. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Yes. That's wonderful. Thank you, Susie. Anyone else? Yes.
Peyton is in the choir at Custer Baker. They're going to perform at Masonic Home this afternoon, the whole choir, and they'll be on a big stage and all, so Nana's kind of proud.
That's great, Peyton. We are so pleased. Thank you for sharing your God gift, and you've done that with us many times, and we bless what you're doing this afternoon. If it's open to the public, go over and scoot over and ask Peyton what time and where. And we can go and support her. Okay, are there any other announcements? All right, let's stand and pray our call to worship of God.
There's an attendance pad that needs to be signed and passed down the pew. Happy are those who keep God's decrees, who seek the Lord with their whole heart.
You will praise God with the hearts that are right.
How can God's people keep their way right with the Lord?
By living according to God's word.
God's decrees and love are wonderful. They dwell in the soul, to live according to God's will and purpose.
The Lord's word.
Please join me in the hymn number 16, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Oh,
let us greet one another as brothers and sisters in Christ.
I didn't tell you the Kuntzes were coming.
You didn't. You knew? Oh. Good morning. No, it's great to have you back. You've been missed. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, lovely lady.
Good morning, lovely lady. Right back to you, beauty. Good morning.
Hi, baby girl.
Hi, baby girl. Oh, so glad you're here. All right. I don't think I can get back to them, but hello, hello.
The scripture today is from Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 through 22. It's on the page 56 of the Old Testament in your pew Bible, if you want to follow along. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines. Although that was near, for God thought, if the people face war, they may change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people by the roundabout way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of the land of Egypt, prepared for battle. And Moses took with him the bones of Joseph, who had required a solemn oath of the Israelites, saying, God will surely take notice of you, and then you must carry my bones with you from here. They set out for Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went in front of them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them along the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light so that they might travel by day and by night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people.
The children are invited to attend Sunday school now. We share our joys among each other so that they might be multiplied. And we share our sorrows and our concerns and our worries among our brothers and sisters in Christ in order that they might be lightened and the burden of them helped among us. And so the first thing that I'm going to lift up, and this is a joy, this is a praise, is we begin today to light candles for 40 days for children throughout the world. And there are Christian churches throughout the world that participate in this. And so they will be lighting candles and saying prayers. Oliver came to first service, and he's going to have a little candle and light it and say a prayer for a child each day. And I encourage you and your families to do likewise, to remember that there are children that either don't know God, they've never heard of God, or they are in war-torn places or scary places away and here at home, and they need our prayers. And so we light the candle to remember to pray for our children everywhere. And we will do this every Sunday until October 13th, which is the children's Sabbath. I lift up Bob Fair, who has struggled for a year and who continues to struggle, particularly this last week. And his beloved Eileen is here, and she has struggled and walked this season of life with him. And they're both weary. And so I just ask that we lift them up in prayer for strength and continued courage and stamina for what they need for the next step, whatever that might be. And so we lift them up to the Lord and we pray, oh Lord, hear our prayers. Bernice Williams and Reva Smith will have surgical procedures this week. Let us keep them anointed with our prayers for complete health restored and for a short rehabilitation. May they know God's presence during all of this time, and that we pray for them. And we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. We ask blessings on our worship of God, our study in group and individually, and praying groups. We ask blessings on the praying groups and our daily prayers. And may teens and children and adults everywhere find themselves closer to God, and that God, who made us holy, who makes us holy by being present with us, may we know those sacred moments. And so we lift all up into the Lord's care, and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. We celebrate that Linda is back. We celebrate anyone who is back. And one of my blessings and one of Steve's blessings is our pastor is here, and it's Reverend Kuntz and his lovely wife, and they're our friends and our pastoral presence, our spiritual leaders, and always have been. And so it's a blessing to have you here. And I'll try not to get too nervous with you sitting back in the pew. And so we pray a praise for their being here. And we pray, O Lord, hear our praise. Are there any others that you would like to lift up that are in need of God's healing touch? Yes, Tim.
It's gotten worse, and there's a lot of other things going on too. But that's my prayers. I do have a joy, though. I know I haven't been in church for a few weeks, probably 8 weeks almost. But it's tournament season and contract season. But we took five students, kids, to the international tournament. We took 6 firsts, 7 seconds, 1/3, 2 appreciation awards. And my student that went to Chicago yesterday took 2 golds and silver. So we're like, it's a good joy. I've been blessed well with students.
Well, I'm blessed that you even remembered all of those. I just think that's a wonderful memory. And so we lift up your praise and we pray, O Lord, hear our praise. And we lift up Jane, and may this pain be relieved. May she heal quickly. And we and you, as you've made this journey with her. And so we lift you up to the Lord and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. Are there any others? Thank you, Tim. Right. Yes, yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes, yes. Yeah. Still asking, Cindy's still asking prayers for our lovely Amy, who has gone through a lot and now starts these surgeries, and she's a little anxious about it. So we ask God to take her anxiety and replace it with joy that she's moving forward, and just to give her holy peace beyond understanding. And so we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. Thank you, Cindy. Anyone else? Yes. Absolutely. Christy and Mike would like for us to pray for daughter who applied to Disney, and you can imagine the numbers of applications that they get. May she be stellar and shine as she does here, and we lift that up to the Lord, and we pray, O Lord, hear our prayers. Yeah. Anything else? All right. Let's bow our hearts before our God. Mm. Thanks be to you, O God, that we have risen this day to the rising of life itself. May the light of Christ burn brightly for our autumn hearts, for this season when earth turns away from the sun, for the transformation taking place throughout the land, for the eternal mystery that surrounds our lives, for the falling leaves of our transitions in the seasons of our living. May our autumn stories rise up to bless us. May we live out of the purpose you have given to each of us. May we bring them together to serve and love for your will for this world. O God of life, grant us your forgiveness for our careless thoughts, for our thoughtless deeds, for our evil speech. For our empty speech, and for words with which we wound. O Lord, hear our prayers. O guiding God of life, grant us your forgiveness for our false desires, for our wastefulness, and for all and for everyone that we leave untended. We believe that in the asking for grace and turning back to you, that you forgive us. Praise be our risen Redeemer. We believe, O Lord and God of all people, that you are the one who created our souls and set their course and gave our bodies their breath. O Lord, hear our praise. Lord, in these times when we fear we are losing hope or feel that our efforts are futile, let us see in our hearts and minds the image of your resurrection. And let that be our source of courage, strength, and stamina. Guide us, dear Lord, and teach us to follow. Guide us, O Lord, and infuse us with wisdom and vision for where you lead, guide, and send us. O Lord, our God, listening to our prayer, send safety and courage and hope to our brothers and sisters in all corners of this world. Comfort and protect the children, the teens, the adults in places of violence and war. Rather it be in our country, a city, or a home, here in our neighborhood. Tend the hearts broken from the loss of life and sense of security from 9/11. O Lord, hear our prayer. Grant peace where there is none. Grant faith where it is absent or small. Grant sacred expectation where there resides only despair. Feed the hungry, quench the thirst of those parched, and guide us, O Lord, to give beyond what we receive. And as you, God, speak to all who listen, bring us home, even the long way. And here is, as we pray authentically, the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May we listen well and look and see God's guidance for our congregation and the church universal. May we experience God in this time of sharing our gifts of giving. May we know what is necessary to sustain and flourish the work and love of our faith family. May we hear God's voice in this time of offering. Thank you.
Gracious and giving God, we are grateful that you love us, always and without condition. We offer these gifts that, though that our through our common mission and ministry, we may participate in acts that spread to others the love you have shared with us. Amen.
Thank you.
I believe that. Can I get an amen? Amen. We come into a time of listening with our hearts, God's message for each of us. And the song says it all. Some are here with broken hearts, some are here with great joy, some are just here. But all have come to worship God, to praise God, and to be in the presence of love that grows here. And so let's bow our hearts before our Lord and ask blessings on this message of God. Bless us, O Lord, as we listen with open hearts and open minds. May we hear what it is that each of us needs to hear from these human words. As you go through and give us and provide for us and guide us into ways in which we need to go, we ask that you give us patience for the long way home, for it is what it needs to be. It is what you will have it be if we will open ourselves to that. Bless and keep us, and may we be attentive to your message for the living of our days. It is in the sweet and holy name of Jesus the Christ that we pray and ask these things. Amen. When Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them to the shortest route from Egypt to the Promised Land. God said, if the people are faced with battle, and they might be if they go the shortest route, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them along a route through the wilderness toward the Red Sea, and the Israelites left Egypt like a marching army. The Lord guided them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire at night. And that way they could travel in the desert, whether it was day or night. And the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire from their sight. Now the desert is a wild and changing place, we tell the children in Worship and Wonder. The wind comes and the wind blows. And that way, it's changing its shape, and it's molded into different shapes all the time. During the day, the sun shines hot on the people and on the land. But in the night, the desert is cold, very cold. And there's almost no water there, so people don't go there unless they just have to. So I start with asking some questions that might help us enter into this story and make it our own about the living of our days. Who are you in this story of God this morning? Could you be the complaining Israelite that keeps receiving miracles and are saved by the love of God, but still complains? Or the Israelites that wish they were slaves again because it's familiar? Are you the Moses who failed to enter the Promised Land because he disobeyed God? Or are you like him in that you don't always recognize and use the talents of others around you? Or are you the bones of Joseph, dead to life, but being carried into the Promised Land just the same? Or are you to remind those that make it that even Pharaoh recognized that he had the Spirit of God within him? Or are you the raging hot sun or the blistering cold at night in the desert? Are you a child going without resistance wherever your parents are taking you? What are the sights and the smells and emotions you experience when you hear this story? Go there with me now. To such a place, God has led his people. Not to punish, but to teach and to redeem them. The people of God have lived in Egypt for 400 plus years as slaves of Pharaoh. They needed time. They needed time to relearn how not to be slaves and how to live as chosen, loved people, obedient to God in the promised land. They had forgotten. They'd forgotten to trust and to love the one true God. They had forgotten his power and his majesty. They believed that they knew what was best for their own lives. And so, living as slaves in Egypt, our God came to rescue them. And the Passover feast would remind them that God always comes to rescue those who are lost. God can see the needs and hazards that we cannot. He works to meet our needs and protects us. We must trust that his way is best for us. This was the learning and the change of heart that took them 40 years. God delivered them from the Egyptian army through passage of the Red Sea, and that was by faith alone. There was no deliverance in sight. In fact, the outlook seemed hopeless. But the Lord said, "Go forward," and they took him at his word. Regardless of the seemingly impassable barrier before them, when God says go, it is our duty to obey, and God's will to open the way so that we can go. God chose a longer route that protected and trained and tested them. For centuries, the Israelites had lived on fertile farmland. What a contrast the desert was to this previous comfort. With no way to provide for themselves, the Israelites complained to God. He performed daily miracles to provide water and food for them. Manna appeared in flake form with the morning dew. And the Israelites ground it like grain and cooked with it. These children of God focused on physical needs, but God focused on their need to trust him, to learn to trust him. The Israelites could not conquer the desert, but climate was not a problem for God. He sustained and tested and encouraged them in a perfect way. In order to be the person God made us to be and to reach the destination of promise, we have to say no sometimes to people, to situations, to requests. We must believe that God has a plan for us that is always good. We must rely on the truth in Scripture as we read the words of Jeremiah in the 29th chapter. He says, "I know what I'm doing," essentially. "I have a plan. I have it all planned out for you. Plans to take care of you and not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Maybe not the way we pray for and in our minds imagine." So we are to read our lives backward, then forward. We are to look back and remember the times when life was empty of hope and that our story of life revealed the ever-present God. And sometimes that's the only way, is to look back and see God's hand and what happened. Remembering how God has carried us through the deep water of despair, fear, and hopelessness to the other side, where hope lives and promises became a reality. We are to read and study Holy Scripture and take within our hearts God's word. In Ecclesiastes, we are reminded that there are seasons for everything in our lives. Do you get impatient with God when he takes you the longer route? I know I do. I remember being in search and call for a while before I came here. And every day prayed, please let me serve a church. Please let me serve a church. And I went to other search and call committees and was offered a few calls to church. And I said no because it didn't fit. I didn't feel it. And then I came here and you wanted an interim and I wanted to be here forever. And I'm praying again and God says, wait. Wait. And so we all go through those times when God takes us a different route to prepare us. God uses this time to help us live and worship in new ways, or in at least a deeper, richer way. As long as we live, we will always need lessons of obedience to God that we still have to learn. But regardless, we are still called by God to love and trust and serve and have faith in our Lord. God's work goes on wherever we reside, whether in place or attitude. We must also understand that sometimes the silence of the Lord is his way of letting us grow, as a mother lets her toddler go along and fall down and get back up and fall down and get back up. We must understand that the things in our daily lives move us forward step by step to the places of spiritual significance. Whereas things that bear the fingerprints of our beloved Lord reveal footsteps toward where we are to go. The ground of being is one of the names given to God, and with spiritual understanding, we locate the holy presence of God right here on earth. Yahweh says in Exodus, the place where you are standing is holy. This place is holy. Your home is holy. Out on the street is holy, not because we are there, but because God is always with us. But do we trust that? The Israelites, I think, forgot for a while in the desert, forgot when they were slaves. And then they were free. So do we trust that God is always with us, that God is leading and guiding us? Do you feel the floor under your feet? Do you feel the pew upon which you sit? Do you know that it is holy because God is present here? We have a beautiful sanctuary, a beautiful church, things that touch our souls. We have beautiful stained glass windows, and we have beautiful pews that people have held on to for a hundred and some odd years. They held on in times of sorrow and in times of grief. They stood up and sang at the tops of their lungs when they were praising God. This is a place that is holy because God resides here, has resided here, will reside here. And that holy mold, that sacred smell of holy mold. If you come in here, usually not when people are in here, but if you come in here and you take a big deep breath, I do this with the children that are going to be baptized, and I say, close your eyes and smell that. And they'll say, what is that? What is that? I say, it's holy mold. Any long-lived church has holy mold in it. And it brings us to a place where we can listen for God's voice of unconditional love and guidance. And if we receive the waiting on the Lord, if we receive that as blessing, it will be a blessing. Doesn't mean we'll be happy about it. It doesn't mean that we'll say, oh, great, I get to do this for 40 years. But it can mean that it'll be a blessing and grow us. Listen to those that come back. Someone just approached me in another from another congregation, and they returned to the congregation. And they said, I felt empty inside. And I said, that's a sacred emptiness. That's God. That's God, because it's like going out in the kitchen and you're hungry. And you eat everything out in the kitchen and nothing satisfies. Well, maybe I'm the only one that does that, but it happens. But the emptiness is sacred, because it's God helping us come back into a space where love grows. Where love grows. And how do we keep ourselves open to this leading and love of God aflame in us? How do we stoke those fires of enthusiasm and passion for spiritual growth? By never letting the fire go out in your soul. So when you ache with emptiness and you say, maybe I should go back to church, but I'm a little worried about going. Go. Go and let the Spirit feed you, and let the people who are passionate about God at that time feed you too, for staying close to the original flame in word and in cup and in bread is important. It's important to be around others who daily pray and worship God and draw near to the heart of God with their fire for God. And stories help. The stories people tell from Genesis to Revelation, from family member to family member, from friend to friend, having a way to take care of each other in story. We may never walk out in the desert for 40 years. I hope we don't, but if we are being led into places that make us feel like we are in wilderness, many in seminary say they feel like they've been in the wilderness. So just to let you know, but if you have felt you've been in the wilderness, come home and let God tend you here and learn to give away stories that touch your heart. Those stories of the Bible are there for us to treasure and to stand and hand on to the next generations. The stories share what we need in relationship. And continuing relationships that form us into the image of Jesus. And there's a great joy in being able to share with others. One part of the brokenness of Christianity is a preoccupation, though, with cookie-cutter, pristine, safe faith that raises efficiency above authenticity. It renders no faith at all. We may be obsessed with trying to prove the shortest distance between two points is a straight line when our Lord is trying to take us the long way. And so listen well. God may lead us where we never thought we would go. God will lead some to walk away from a high-profile, well-paying career in order to begin completely different work that few people will know or care about. God will lead some to retire when everything and everyone says no. God will lead someone to a major, and that person may walk away from that major and never seemingly use the information and what they've learned in the work that they do. And God will lead some then to become urban missionaries and rural math teachers. Others to take the risk of going back to school or starting a business, and others still to be radically different in their lifestyle. Life has meaning, and it is through the struggles that we are blessed by our God, who leads us if we let God lead us. There won't be much fanfare, probably, if you have given up a lot for your following in Christ. There won't be a lot of people standing up and applauding and saying, oh, that's so great that you gave that up. But it'll be a blessing. And it will be a place where you meet God and you're more wholly satisfied than anything you've ever done. I asked you at the beginning who or what you were in this text this morning. I am like the bones of Joseph. I ask you to take me with you in your story, in this congregation, to the future of Tabernacle Christian Church. And know this, each of you is my soul friend. Each of you has made me a better woman, a better minister. And because I know you and I'm walking with you on the longer journey, on the road less traveled by, I know that God dwells among us and God's presence is known in the senses, the mind, and the spirit. And may you know the presence of God wherever you go and accept the path that God has placed you on. Amen. Beloved of God, hear God calling you to unite with this faith family. Hear God through all of us welcome you to proclaim Jesus as the Christ and to join this faithful, the faithful that are here following Jesus as brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's prepare our hearts to receive and welcome anyone that might come forward by singing hymn number 572. Let's sing verse 1, Take Time to Be Holy. Please stand. God calls, prepares, and guides in our walk with Jesus, a walk that may be long and out of the boundaries we place. Jesus reminds us that he willingly laid down his life for us, each one, not just the good, not just the bad, not just God gave it for all. Let us make the whole earth our altar before our Lord, make ourselves not perfect as if we could, but perfectly seeking to share this meal of love, being loved and loving, forgiven and forgiving, being repentant. Receive the nourishment for the cup and bread. This is what God asks. Let us prepare our hearts to receive by singing hymn number 573, Pure in Heart, O God.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we meet at this special table, let us be pure in heart and be ready to devote our lives to serve you. Let us keep watching for your plan, not our plan. Let us know that you love us so much that you gave your life for us. And as we take this bread, let us feel the love that grows here. Feel the love and share the love and know that you are here. In your name we pray. Amen.
Dear God, we are thankful for this day, this time of peaceful fellowship with you and with one another. Almighty God, we pray for peace in our world. Help the leaders of all nations to make good, wise, and just decisions. Help us all to learn to live together and to try to understand each other, even though we may seem very different from each other. Remind us when we forget that we are all your children who share this earthly home. As we share this cup of Holy Communion, we ask you to help us to live in peace and harmony. In the name of the Prince of Peace, we pray. Amen.
on the night that our Lord and Savior was betrayed. He gathered his disciples together, and he took bread, and he gave thanks for it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in like manner, he took the cup and he blessed it. And he said, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you do this in remembrance of me." For as often as we drink of the cup and eat of the bread, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again. We are about to leave this place of sanctuary and peace. And we don't know what long way God will take you home or if he will take you the long way at all. Maybe you're at a different season of your life. But just know that when you go from this place that you are well loved, God loves you, we love you, and that you're not alone. And so love grows here. And that will be forever in my heart. And so as we rise to sing our song that sends us out, I want to remind us that there are crosses here. If you signed up for a cross, please take one. If you did not sign up for a cross, I have more in my office. So they are hand crosses. It talks about that they are part of the ministry that Karen and Dan Harden wanted to start, and she now is carried on as a legacy for Dan. But it reminds you to hold on to the cross. And it was very meaningful to him, and he wants it to be spread among us. So we have it here in worship so that it will be blessed and that there will be communion over it. And so if you signed up, please do. If not, see me, and I'll get you one out of my office. So please stand. We're singing hymn number 434, and we will sing verses 1 and 2. God be with you till we meet again. I just remembered to say something about our beautiful Elizabeth, who's come back to visit for a while. She's visiting Grandma Betty Smith. And so she was with us 5 years and took care of our babies. And for that, you've really been a blessing, and just for being you. And so welcome. If you will bow your heads into your hearts, I will bless you. May I bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And as we go from this space of listening, looking, seeing, hearing, learning, soul-restoring place where God meets us where we are and guides us for our best, may we each draw near to the original flame, our risen Christ, and receive the warmth and love of that light for our path. And may we each leave this space with renewed spirit, a better way to go, even if it takes longer. And may God enfold you, and may Christ uphold you. May the Spirit of God carry you all the way home. Amen. Go in peace.
I never tried to meet you.
Welcome home.